those of you that are watching by live stream, you are in for a wonderful time tonight. If you're close by, you could probably get into the service. We're just now getting started. We'll be here probably till about 8:30 or something. They bought us some nice new, comfy chairs. Oh, man. I think I'll put these in the car. Man, that makes your derriere feels really good. Okay, so tonight we're going to do some things. We're going to get prepared for going to Proverbs 30. We are done with 29, whether you like it or not. We've been trying to finish Proverbs 29 for 29 years, it seems like. But we have finished Proverbs 29. And there's sort of a thing that God wants me to do. I have been so serious acting. Y'all been seeing me act serious?
Yes.
Zeal. That's right. It's zeal. It's zeal. It's excitement about the things of God. And I'm so excited. And the Lord said, don't, that is not, it's not indignation. It's not anger. It's not silliness. It's zeal. You just got this. The Bible says that the zeal of the Lord ate him up. He was eaten. He was being eaten up by the zeal. So I want to make sure that before we get to Proverbs 30, that we get somewhat of an introduction to the seriousness of being part of this kingdom.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I don't think people really understand all the things that's going on concerning that. But there's a seriousness about being part of the kingdom of God. And I want to make sure that we see that. Now, you know me. When I start studying stuff like this, God's going to give me a song. So I do have some music that I want to put with this. But I want to read, go to Revelations chapter 4. Now, some of you are already out the window now because I said Revelations. Because most of you don't like the book of Revelations. But the Bible says you're blessed if you read this book. Read chapter 1. It says that those that read this book are blessed. So I'd say nothing wrong with reading the book of Revelations. That's why God's got the whole book for us. I happen to believe, and I've been telling people, this is just my opinion, or like I like to say, I'm just saying, God ain't saying this, but I'm saying, I really believe we're on Revelations 22, which is the last book of the last book. There ain't nothing left. Now, this is don't get upset about what I'm saying, because I'm just observing and listening to the Spirit of God and watching. The Bible says watch and pray. Don't just pray and don't just watch. A lot of times we just start watching and we ain't praying. And sometimes we're praying with our eyes closed.
That's true.
I believe you need to pray with your eyes open. God hear you just the same. And you don't have to be bending your knees. You're going to get in a wreck. You got to learn how to just pray. God, it's just a I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Moses was the most meek man that there was, okay? That man was so weak, meek, but he was. But really what meekness is strength under control. The ability to have strength but yet have it under control. And you have the ability, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You have the ability to stay home, go somewhere else. You could have flew out of town. You could have done it. You could be at Las Vegas gambling right now. You could be at the bar down the street drinking. You could be at the casino tonight. But you have that strength and ability about yourself to be able to make yourself come to church on a Wednesday night. This ain't on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. And those of you watching my live stream, I compliment you also on being able to at least tune in. Some of you are at work, and we hear from you. Thank God. And let us hear from you. We want to know that you're out there and that you're receiving the Word of God. Of course, we want you inside. And let me just say this. There is no such thing as a virtual church. Okay? You can't be really a member of a church if you don't have a church that teaches the Word of God around you, you somewhere in the desert by yourself. I mean, obviously, you can't go to church if there ain't no church to go to. Right. So we have to make sure that we understand that. But don't use your online ability to keep you from the things of God.
Yeah, man-made
okay, titles or naming things and stuff. And, you know, God gave us permission.
So, Adam, that was his first basic job was name stuff.
It's not in the Bible because it tells us clearly to come together, to assemble together. Because we need to encourage each other. We don't just come to church to hear the word. I mean, that's the main reason. But we come to church to be an encouragement to one another. I mean,
you don't know who you're an encouragement to.
Huh?
People see you don't know who you're. Bring a little more monitor. We're still adjusting things. Y'all like the construction? Well, they're done with all the framing. We're not going to put carpet on here until we get the money. That's how we operate. So y'all want to sit here and look at this wood all next 5 years? That's fine. I'll preach just the same. But we need money. They don't take prayers. They don't want us to quote scriptures to them. They want money to finish this. So if we give them some money, they'll finish it. If we don't, they'll pray for us and pray that we get the money. So anyhow, so we're still making adjustments. So don't be bothered by that. Things sound a little different because we're bouncing off of wood and it's just a lot of stuff that's different. The platform's much larger. The carpet is not soaking up the sound. So it's bouncing a lot more, and so we're trying to make minor adjustments while we get prepared for carpet. Are we going to have carpet? I ain't buying all the carpet. We all got to buy this carpet. Amen. Amen. So you might as well get on off it, because we got to buy the carpet. That ain't too religious either. God's got gold. They're walking on gold in heaven. It's not paved with gold. It is gold. The roads are made of gold. Y'all want to do that here? No, just kidding. All right. But assembling together is very scriptural, and it says assembling together, not assembling in front of your television or in front of your, and we're on television. We praise God for it. People are enjoying the program. We've made changes with that. But, we're not expecting. You got to come. We need to press the flesh. We need to say, hello, how you doing? Loneliness is the problem.
You was talking about money, and I thought about the Bible says bring all the tithes into the storehouse.
How are you going
to
do that?
So we have to come to God's house if you can come. Now, if you're, you can't make it or some reason, then that's an option. That's an option, and we have it there. But that's not God's perfect plan.
We have used COVID as an excuse long enough. Everything. Stop it. It ain't nothing but a modified flu. Okay? I know, and y'all, I got folks that I know that passed away and that kind of thing concerning this, but I think many times they had other complications, but I think we have gone long enough pushing this COVID thing. As believers, do you believe in COVID or do you believe in God? So we need to believe in the healing or the ability, the best, better than healing is health.
Yes.
Having a healthy body.
Yes.
I know what it's like not to have a healthy body. I know what it's like to almost bleed to death. I know what it's like to be able to have your pancreas shut down on you, or your liver shut down on you. I know what it feels like to be able to not be able to comprehend what you just read in the Bible. Been there, done that. Don't have to do it again. Now, we're going to go to the book of Revelations, as I said, because this is great that you've assembled here together. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together. So if you're forsaking the assembly of yourself together by watching live stream and you could be here, you're violating scripture and you really need to get here.
Right.
You spend that gas to go to Walmart and everywhere else. You need to come to church.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read that whole chapter. Now, I showed you Proverbs 22 before, but I'm saying Revelations chapter 4, okay? Revelations chapter 4. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's not that long, but we're going to read it. Now, I want to read it first, and then I'm going to play to you something that I think sort of describes the seriousness of God and the Word of God. After my visit to, heaven, hell, y'all know, and Hades and all this stuff, there's just a seriousness about me.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. I was changed. God changed me. I never expected it, never thought it was going to happen. I just wanted to get well. I didn't want to get changed. I just wanted to get well, be the same guy. God said, nope, we're doing an overhaul. We're going to change out some spark plugs, and we're going to put in a new engine. We're gonna make you a little different. And so if you're coming back, you're coming back not as the same Don Shorter. You're coming back as somebody that's a completely different creature. And I'm still trying to figure me out. But better to just figure out the Lord or spend time getting to know the Lord, and you'll get to know yourself.
Yes. Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it nice and slowly, and then I'm going to play some music that I am in search of the sounds of heaven. And I keep running into stuff that sounds like what describes what I really believe heaven is all about. And so I'm gonna play for you something that I believe would fit what we're about to read, okay? Here we go. And I'll read it off the screen. It says, after these things I looked. This is John the Revelator. He was put on the island of Patmos to be able to be put there. And he was put there to be able to exile him, to get him. They wanted to get rid of him. They tried to boil him in oil. He wouldn't die. They tried to do all kinds of things to kill this guy. They couldn't kill him. And so they put him on an island by himself. And he ends up writing the book of Revelations. You can't beat this guy. Anyhow, so he says, after these things, I looked. And you have to understand, when you read the book of Revelations, a lot of things are metaphors. Or they are just images of things that would describe something, because he doesn't even really know how to describe it. It would be like people from the 1800s trying to describe going online, okay? Or cell phone, right, a cell phone. I mean, I remember we used to laugh about the fact that you're going to be able to have a phone that you can call somebody and see them. Woo, now we got FaceTime. We use FaceTime all the time. I was using it today and showing it to other staff members. Okay, this is something we're going to do over here. It was going through a project, taking a look at the location, see if we wanted to use the location. And it's weird. We thought that was so weird. How would you describe that in 1853? You couldn't do it. It just doesn't make any sense. We'll have a device. Well, it doesn't have any cord to it. No, it just goes through thin air. Can you see the pictures while they're going? No, you can't see the pictures. It's electronic, man. And everybody can have a phone. What about the pictures running to each other? You're looking at a picture, they're looking at a picture, she's looking at a picture, everybody's got a picture. Won't the pictures get confused? Well, where there's, see, it's just, that's how the book of Revelation is. Because this man, they were basically in the Stone Age as far as we're concerned. And he's trying to explain all this stuff, and he's coming up with things that he can relate to that maybe sound even antiquated to us to be able to get the description of. It says, after these things I looked, John the Revelator says, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Now, I spent time in orchestra in high school and junior high school, and I used to love, as I was playing the drums and playing the bass and doing just the triangle, you got two notes you're going to play in the whole song, ting and ting, and you just stand there the rest of the time just watching everybody else play, because that's all you got on the music sheet. But or playing the drums, you know, for the Star Spangled Banner or whatever, I watch the brass guys, I watch the trombone, I love the oboe, I watch the oboe, I don't know, it's just a sound that's so, it's so wonderful. I watch the little piccolos and the flutes, and watch these people, and the sounds coming out of this little thing they're playing, it's just wild. But here, this man hears a voice speaking like it's a trumpet speaking with me. I mean, you know, think about Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Maybe that's what it sounded like. Wah, 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 wah. Think about it. That's what happens when, I can't remember the character that they use that for. But anyhow, and the first verse was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Continue to the next verse. You can continue to roll unless I ask you to stop. Immediately, I was in the spirit. Now, you got to get this. This is in the spirit. So to understand it, you got to be in the spirit. Yeah. And that is the capitalized S. That's the Holy Spirit. So people in the flesh are not going to understand it. You might as well close the book now. So before you read any of the Bible, you really should pray and ask God to give you revelation knowledge. Because this book is coded for believers. If you're not saved, Ain't no sense in handing somebody a book and say, read this and you're going to get saved. No, you need to get them born again so they can understand it. It is a coded book for believers. And this is why people can read the book and read the book and read the book and understand the history of it, but not understand the spirit of the letter, but they'll understand just the law. The letter of the law. I mean, the law, the rules and regulations. But they won't get the spirit of the word of God. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. How many sat on the throne?
One.
I don't care who you are. You ain't in this position. There is one on the throne. I call it one star.
Yeah.
Every other star you got in Hollywood, every other star that's ever been on television or movies or star, whatever we call it, a star that was billionaires, gazillionaires, whatever they are, they will fade in the presence of Jesus Christ, God, Holy Spirit in heaven. There is one star. Now, I come from the media where there are people that thought they were stars, even the ones that weren't. But there is one star. I want to talk to the musicians because we got to get out of this. Okay, I got that. Okay, I'm going to say this. I believe part of the reason why a lot of the music right now is not anointed is because the musicians that are playing it are playing games. Fornicating. Drinking, smoking dope, and coming in there trying to figure out their riffs. God is not looking for a... Oh, that's a musician out there. Well, she must know something. I don't know. I don't play nothing. I ain't even take my drum set that she bought me for Christmas on the 28th of February. I ain't even taken it out of the box yet. Ain't had time. But I'm telling you, it takes the Spirit to minister in the Spirit. And the anointing is going to cost you.
Yes, it does.
It will cost you your behavior.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you your friends. It's going to cost you your alcohol. It's going to cost you with your Friday nights playing them dominoes and drinking your beer.
Yeah, that's true.
Slapping them bones down.
Yeah.
Ha, gotcha.
Yep.
I'm serious.
Right.
And see, and this is the reason why we have flaky. I'm listening to music. Now, I grew up with this stuff. I grew up this since 15 years old. I've been in radio and television. 15 years old, secular. Mainly secular. Secular for about 20 of those years. Secular.
You know what? Then you're familiar because you played secular music
right.
At a high level.
Right, as the one entertaining.
In the Seattle market.
Not so. Playing it as a musician, yeah. But playing only the perfect music that was studio quality that we accepted.
Yeah, and so now God is having music back into your life, but in the spiritual way. But
right.
God just put it in my heart. Then you can sense strong, maybe more than others, if that anointing is on that song, because you played, you know when it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're familiar with, you know, different spirits because you played those songs for so many years.
Right.
That you had to physically quit.
I quit because of the music.
You quit your
and
career.
Because of the lifestyle of the people that was playing the music and the people that was the entertainers playing the music for the musicians.
Yeah, but that secular music causes people to do things that
right.
Maybe they would normally, because it's,
right.
It's different.
It's an influence.
Spirits, yeah, behind that music.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I quit a very, very, very elephant dollar good paying job. Partially because I knew I was called to the ministry, and we went through. We starved for a while. But I said, this is just the price I'm going to pay to get out of this mess. Because either I'm going to stay in this and it's going to kill me, and we sure ain't going to be together. Well, I'm playing me and Mrs. Jones. Just saying, and then looking to see whether I'm going to play Let's Get It On or It's Your Thing, Do What You Want to Do. Which one do I play next?
But, okay, well, just, and I know we're sort of going, you know, this is a lifestyle.
I'm a Christian. I'm a junior deacon.
This is a lifestyle ministry, so we're pretty raw.
I'm just.
But think about what you
just
said.
I'm transparent, folks.
let's get it on, or okay. no. This is my thing. What's it? It's my thing. Do what you want to do. Yeah, but see, if you listen,
I can't tell you who to sock it to.
Yeah, but there's a spirit behind that song.
Of course.
A person that's listening to that.
But
all
it was very good music. It was the Isley Brothers was something else with the guitars and the bass, and they started a whole nother kind of funky thing with music.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, people start having that mentality, though.
Right.
It's my thing. I'll do
what I want to do, which causes a lot of fornication. And I had to repent. I repented to God. I said, God, forgive me for messing up marriages and messing up lives.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Music is powerful.
If you were asleep, I'll say it again. If you were sleepless in Seattle, you listened to me, 1976 to 1982. If you love dancing, you saw my program, because I came on right after Dick Clark and American Bandstand on Saturday with Up Front. So you couldn't miss what I was saying, unless you were blind or something. But see, I have to take responsibility for that, and I'm trying to tell these musicians right now, because I believe we got some musicians that's messing up the anointing. And that's why I got to go back 10, 15 years to find music. Okay, play the song. This is how serious God is. Now listen, play it strong. Don't come weak now.
Listen to the
music.
And the
I feel like this is the kind of thing that's happening around the throne. We're about to read about the throne. It says, one sat on the throne. Your feet. I'm seeking your face. No higher calling. No greater than to kneel before your throne. I'm amazed at your glory. Mercy. I live just to worship you. No other reason. We talking about going to heaven now. Bow down before our Lord in his presence.
I'm amazed at your glory and grace, by your mercy, oh Lord. I live to worship you.
Amazed at your glory.
Amazed at your glory.
hands up and worship the Lord. Come on now.
Oh, Lord, I live to worship.
Praise God. Another song we listened to all night last night. Another song we played in our car, going everywhere, yesterday and today. Because God wants us serious and to live in His presence. Now think about it. We're about to read this. There's one throne and one that sat on the throne right here that we're talking about. Then it continues. Let's go to the next verse. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne. Underline that. Yes. The enemy is trying to steal the rainbow and pervert it. It does not represent lesbianism, homosexuality, or transgenderism, or pluralistic genders. Besides, there's only two.
That's right, amen.
There is male and female. Even dogs know that. Cats know it. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, they know it. People are only ones stupid enough to try to come up with 65,000 new genders. And it's all based on feelings. And see, we got to get serious about this. Yeah. And, you know, because, listen, we are on, as far as I'm concerned, this is my opinion. This is an opinion. God ain't told me nothing. We are on Revelation 22, based on looking at Genesis 18 and 19, because after they got totally perverted, God couldn't do nothing with them. It was over. Now, how much more perverted are we going to get? Yep. If God allows this to continue with more perversion, with crazy, I don't even know what you're going to do. Start falling in love with bugs or something? I mean, you know, he's kissing them. What are you going to do? What you going to do? What are we going to do? God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was over. Just like the Holy Spirit rains down, something else rains down. Now, I'm the preacher of the good news, and the good news is that we don't have to live like this.
That's right.
We don't have to live like this. And there's people that don't like what I'm saying, but I don't care. Go find somebody saying something else.
Yep.
You don't have to listen to me.
That's right.
You don't have to come. You don't even have to watch. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to sneak and, you know, act like you're doing something else and you listen to this. Let's continue. Who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne. There is a rainbow around the throne. There's a rainbow around the throne. There's a rainbow around the throne. I refuse. I'm going to start telling people it's got that rainbow. Do you really know where that comes from?
Right.
It predates you by a few thousand years.
Yeah.
It's been in existence in heaven for who knows how long.
Yeah.
It represents the throne. You know you've gotten to God's throne when you see the rainbow. One on the throne, and it ain't no king from some nation on this planet.
That's right.
Or another planet. It is God only.
Yes.
You know our God by the rainbow. That's why they're trying to steal the rainbow. We need to educate our children. Every one of you, children and grandchildren, need to go pull out a rainbow, pull out the scripture, go to the rainbow concerning Noah and tell them God gave us that as a promise because in heaven there's a rainbow around the throne.
Yep.
Now, what I'm saying is not popular, but I don't give a rip. I'm not here for popularity.
No,
I'm here to just tell the truth.
Yep.
All I'm doing is reading the book. It's been in the book all this time. You just didn't read it. I'm reading it. Okay.
Jesus wasn't either. He wasn't popular either. You know, they talked about him and, you know, said he had a demon and, you know, they thought he was crazy. and always trying to catch him in his word.
Think about it.
I mean.
I know.
So the enemy is not going to attack something.
So the enemy may attack you when you try to tell somebody what the rainbow is really all about. Now, are we going to keep lying to ourselves? This thing, and see, when you go away from God, you get unclean. I refuse to dress like the world anymore. I'm dressing up because I represent the King. I ain't wearing no more sloppy clothes. Ain't no holes in my jeans unless I'm doing work around my house. Wearing out the knees. I'm not doing that. I'm not looking like I just got out of the gym. I ain't doing it no more. I refuse to. Because God ain't gonna give me a hoodie and a sweatsuit when I get to heaven. You're gonna get a robe and a crown. Hello. Based on your work, you'll have a lot of expensive things in your ground. And some of y'all going to have one rock from the from the beach. No, we're going to all have, God's going to celebrate us. Say amen to that. Okay, and this is what gets me, because I saw emerald. I saw green when I was there. I'm telling you, I saw green. I said, maybe because I'm from the evergreen state. Maybe because, I don't know. Anyhow, in appearance, like an emerald. Now, I don't know what all this means. I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. A lot of things we don't know. We will never know. There's no preacher that knows everything. We see through a glass darkly, the best of us. So we're all just reading. All I can do is read, and of course, you can get to other translations and perhaps get what other people say. Yeah, he'll give you revelation of the things, and the things that he does share with you are yours and for your children as well. It says, around the throne were 24 thrones. So there was a throne, and there were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. Notice they don't have gym shorts on. I'm trying to say, we got. They're not sitting there. They got white robes. They don't have purple ones. They don't have blue ones. They don't have black ones. They got specific things that God is giving them in heaven that they're wearing. And they had crowns of gold on their heads.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Some of us want a black ring because we want to act like we ain't got nothing. I'm wearing my gold. Think about y'all. I ain't wearing no black ring. Now, you can wear what you want to buy. You buy what you want to buy. I buy what I want to buy. But God ain't giving us some crooked aluminum ring. I mean, what is it? A crown on our head? Some crooked aluminum crown? He wants us to live like royalty. We're part of a kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean you got to run around and act like you're all rich and faking all this kind of stuff. But we need to realize we are somebody. Even if you ain't got nothing, act like you got something. Stop acting broke. You don't have to act. You are a child of the King. I don't want my kids running around acting broke. If they start acting broke, I'm going to start buying some stuff for them. I'm serious. We want our children to do well.
Some people get confused like that because I remember that song they gave me at that traditional church.
Don't tell me about that again.
No, they did. They gave me a song when I was a teenager. We was going to this traditional church. I won't tell you the denomination of it. But they gave me a song, and it talked about going to heaven, and some people are going to have holes in their robes
and rusty crowns.
But that's not in the Bible. And that's a song somebody wrote. So it's obvious
it.
Whoever wrote
and
that song
Kathy was
didn't
asked
read
to
the
lead
Bible.
The song.
And I was asked to lead. And you know, I can't lead. You know, I don't really have a strong lead voice.
So she was a little off key going, so rusty old crown and a robe that scratches. And my shoes have patches.
I said, I wonder if they did that on purpose because they knew I couldn't.
You do the best you can, but for me,
I'm going to wash my face. I'm going to shave if I got a razor. I'm going to comb my hair. I'm going to fix my breath. I don't want to look like I need help. I want to look like I've served God. And you can, whatever you got, you can fix it up.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have the best car that you want? You go wash the one you got.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You go wash the car you got. You got all the clothes you want? Wash the clothes you got.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
You know. You got some old tennis shoes, just wash those tennis shoes off.
Yep.
Make sure that they're as white as they can be. So they have white robes, okay? And from the throne proceeded lightning. See, and this is what I'm saying. This is serious. When we're talking about heaven, I mean, how many like being around lightning? Okay? If you're flying an aircraft, you're supposed to be 20 miles from that lightning. You're not supposed to go no closer than 20 miles from the lightning strikes. And we have strike finders most of the time on the aircraft, so we know where the thunderstorms are. And let me just say this. The Lord was talking to me about this because I majored in weather when it came to aviation, because people get killed off of weather a whole lot because they take off thinking that they could, well, you know, I'm a good pilot and I can go through the weather. Weather don't care. It'll kill you. And I was going to actually bring the chart, and I'll probably do it next week, the chart, because he says start incorporating weather because it really relates to the word a lot. Think about how Jesus, he spoke to the storm and the wind.
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it. Mm-hmm. How he's the bright and morning star. I mean, there's so much concerning this, that he is the sun in heaven. Mm. He brings the brightness. Mm-hmm. The weather is very, very important. And, you know, because most of us, he said, we a lot of times we act like we're thunderstorms. And thunderstorms have to build up. They go through a four-step process. There's a building process. Then they finally get to a mature. I won't go through all the steps. But they finally go through a mature stage. And then they go through a dissipating stage. And that's what we usually see. And that's where the lightnings come. It's like a popcorn popper. This air is going up and down and up and down. And it's cooling and it's cooling. And it turns into all the water in there is turning into little ice pellets. And sometimes it's really big baseball-sized pellets. But by the time it comes out in the mature stage and it's dissipating and it's beginning to come out, that big piece of ice will reduce down to a little, you know, you see a little bit of hail. But sometimes it doesn't. But they only last about 20 minutes in their mature stage. Coming down, you see a thunderstorm coming down, it only lasts about 20 minutes. And you know what? A lot of times, those things will destroy the farmland. Farmers don't like seeing sweeping thunderstorms coming through, nor tornadoes, which are tied to thunderstorms. Lightning scares people.
Yeah, that's true.
But you go to heaven, you better get used to it. Because God got some power. So you're going to go around the throne, I want to see God. Well, you're going to see the rainbow. And you're going to think it's DEI or something, but it ain't. It ain't that. It's God. It's lightning, thunderings, and voices proceeded from the throne. Now, this can get really sort of, wow, what's going on? Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne. The number seven is all through the book of Revelation and all through the Bible, really, which are the seven spirits of God. We'll study that, not now, but we're going to study the seven spirits of God. Let's go to the next verse, verse number six. Let's hurry up because we're using a lot of time. Okay, it says, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. Now, you see all this description? You got lightning, thunder, you got a rainbow, and you got this. And then watch this, because see, this is the stuff that gets a little, where people say, I ain't reading that no more. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. You better be ready for this. God's, he ain't weird, but things are different there. So what is that really? I don't really know. And it says, go back to verse 6, you're pushing too fast. Let me finish these things. Go back to 6. It says, we're four living creatures full of eyes front and back. What all does that mean? I can't explain all that to you. He couldn't. Mm-hmm. He basically just telling you what he thinks he's seeing. Now, were they actually eyes? I don't know. What was this? What was this living creature? I don't know. And we're not going to know everything. Go to the next verse, verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion. Okay, we got that. Second living creature, like a calf. We got that. Third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Okay, we can understand those things. Now, of course, he's explaining things based on his knowledge of the earth and being here. And that's what it looked like to him. Let's continue. It's sort of like wheel in the middle of the wheel. What was that? A flying saucer? I mean, you know, we don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that are said in the Bible we don't understand. Now, I'm only saying this because we have to get serious about God, because we don't know nothing. We don't know much of anything. And so we have to just trust God. There's a lot that we will find out when we get there. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. Wow. And they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to what?
Come.
He is to come." Jesus is coming again. How many know that?
Amen.
I said Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
You should be excited about the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, every believer gives off a fragrance. I'm not going to take you to the scripture tonight, but I'll show it to you as we go into Augur, which is the book of Proverbs 30. And I'm setting this up because Augur really didn't have the ability to handle this stuff. He didn't really understand this. That's not a negative thing about him. He just had the knowledge that he had. He didn't have a real connection to Israel a whole lot. His father was not really a real strong connection to Israel. Some tried to say he was the son of David, but he was not. He was son of Ithiel, and you know, not Ithiel, but he was the son. Well, we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. He wasn't related really to Solomon as part of the lineage of David. And so he didn't understand a lot of things, sort of like we don't understand a lot of things here, okay? And so we have to realize we know very little. That's why we got to just use our faith. You got to just trust the Lord that he's going to take care of you. While all this stuff is going on in heaven, he's still taking care of you. Now, think about that song. And when I heard this song for the very first time, which was yesterday, when I heard that song, I could see in my mind men, serious, muscular, big men. And they're coming to go to the feet of God. And they're worshiping, and they're worshiping at his feet. What do? The disciples washed Jesus' feet. And Jesus washed their feet. Jesus said, "You should be washing one another's feet." Come on, let's talk about this. And then they said, "You know, don't just wash my feet, wash my everything." After they got the revelation concerning the importance of the feet washing. Now, we don't go around washing people's feet. I had a lady come up to me one time, and she had some problems. And my wife was sitting next to me. My wife was always sitting next to me, so don't try nothing. Anyhow. But she came and said, "I like to wash your feet." I said, "No, you're not. You ain't washing my feet. Jesus already showed that example. You ain't touching my feet." See, because I grew up not very touchy. My dad, when he hugged me, he went like this. "Hey, Don, how you doing?" I said, "Great, Dad." We wasn't a huggy, touchy person. My wife trained me to be that way with my kids. My kids are, you know, Don's a hugger. Don Jr., he hugs everybody. He wants bear hugs. He's just that kind of guy. Because he grew up with both of us raising him in the ministry. And she taught me, "Hug your children, boy. Hug your children." I said, "Okay." And so I learned how to do that. And I was more of that way. My father was not that way. So you talk about touching my feet. Are you serious? Are you crazy? No, I don't care if it's Jesus telling you. You ain't touching my feet. Okay, if it's Jesus, it'd be different. But I don't think it was Jesus. She had some problems and left with some other guy. But anyhow, she did. Okay. Okay, you'll want me to go into the story. You'll want to hear the story. Okay, so here we have holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Next verse, verse number 9, we're going to finish this. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Next verse, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him. Man, this is serious reverence for God. They're doing this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they never stop worshiping God. Kathy's reading Jesse Duplantis' book about heaven. And I've seen his video also that he talked about it. He talked about when he went into heaven. He got in. I didn't. But he got in. And when he would walk around talking to some of the disciples and that kind of stuff, he said, all of a sudden, if somebody said something about Jesus, they'd hit the floor. Oh, praise God. And get up off the ground, start walking again. Somebody else said something. Jesus, so good. Oh, praise the Lord. Everybody in the whole group just hit the ground. And we would walk around here listening to people cussing Jesus' name. Blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, blank. This is serious, folks. Yeah.
I was telling Pastor Shorter today, I said, or it was yesterday, but I said to him, I said, people really, we really need to encourage, especially our congregation, to really saturate yourself, engulf yourself with the presence of God. Because then when we come together, it's going to be so much easier for you to receive the Word of God. People can't really receive the Word of God because they've been playing some of those old secular music before they come to church.
They've been living what they've been hearing.
Or, you know, and they haven't been in the presence of God. And really, it's best to get in the presence of God before you even come to church. So we can all just, you know, just enjoy the presence of God. But we got too many carnal, fleshly Christians, and that's the problem. And it's hard to receive the Spirit of God,
you know,
because we're just so carnal.
I think about Kathy, I'm sorry, but I think about the attendance sometimes, and I'm saying, how in the world can you be so late to church? You know, if you came this late to church as you come, your butt would have been fired a long time ago. Your rear end. Okay, I'm sorry. But you would have been fired a long time ago. But when it comes to an almighty God like this, you walk sashaying in like you somebody. And you are. But you're somebody in the kingdom. Because if it wasn't for God, you have nothing. You are nothing without God. You're on time for work. You're on time for school. You're on time. You go to the airport and just sashay in. You're going to miss that flight to Chicago. We did. She hated leaving these kids. And we were traveling for ministry. Now, I'm going to tell on you, girl.
She tells on me a lot.
I'm going to tell on you. It's going to help somebody.
You guys want some gossip, just come to church, right?
No, this ain't gossip. This is truth. This is truth.
I lie not.
Am I telling the truth?
I don't mind.
Okay, can I tell a story?
Yeah, you can tell the story.
I'm going to tell a story now.
Because it's true.
I ain't
going to
bend nothing. I'm not going to bend the truth.
Because I love my children so much.
She loved her little children. And the little baby, she had to leave the little
babies at home. I was a great mom when I was raising them.
She's leaving the little babies at home. And she, I don't want to go. We had to fly to Chicago. Crazy, you know, because I was meeting up with I ain't gonna tell you. Anyhow, I was joining an international ministry to help them with their marketing and stuff. Anyhow, and so we had to go to Chicago. And, you know, and I'm saying, Kathy, let's go. Because, you know, there's certain things. I'm a systems person. I do things with systems, even taking a shower, doing everything. I do brushing my teeth. I have a system to everything. So I'm a systems person. And, part of the system is to ask her, do you have those tickets? Yes, I got the tickets. Can I see those tickets? That's back when you had to have a printed ticket.
So it's an old story.
Okay. You got those tickets? Yes, I've got those tickets. Can I see those tickets? And I'd ask her as we're going along, because I don't want her miss, you know, she put her purse down, took the tickets out, left them on the counter somewhere or something. We can't get on the plane. So she says, we can see. The gate is right there. It's the November gate, the North Gate in SeaTac. And we can see the terminal down there. And when they shut the door, it's over. You ain't going. I don't care who you are. You are not going. And if they push back, they're not coming back. Okay, they're not even coming back 3 inches. They're not coming back. you're gone. You're going to have to find a flight if you can. If you can't, too bad. Go home. Anyhow, so we're going down. I said, come on, Kathy. And this is when they didn't have wheels on suitcases. And she likes to take everything. And so I'm worse than her, though. And so I'm running down there with all these suitcases, you know, the carry-ons. And I'm running. Come on, Kathy. Come on, Kathy. I said, come on, Kathy. Come on, Kathy. I ain't hear nothing. Lord, help us today. Come on, Kathy. Come on, Kathy. Let's go. Let's go, Kathy. Come on. We're almost there. I can see. Ooh, they're about to shut the door. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. I look back and she's going, do-do-do-do, into the women's restroom. I don't want to go, Don. What are you talking about? What is wrong with you, woman? I don't want to leave my kids. I said, well, you got to come on. And I'm standing outside the women's bathroom, right? Now, what does this look like? A man standing outside the women's bathroom. Come out here, baby. And I'm saying, you got to, we got to. And I'm trying not to let yell. I'm trying not to yell. Kathy, come on. Come on. Come on. Please, Kathy. Please. I don't want to go, Don. She's speaking through the door. I don't want to go. They shut the door. She's still in the bathroom. I am sitting there saying, no, you can't do that. The plane takes a little retraction back of the gateway and wheels start running backwards. They've got approval for pushback. You're in trouble. Yeah, we thank God we was going to Chicago. If we was going to Timbuktu, we wouldn't have found nothing. Okay. But there was another flight a couple hours later. And I sat her down, pat her on her knee, said, listen, the little babies are going to be just fine. Donnie's taken care of. Don't worry about little Donnie's going to be fine. Danae's going to be fine. Monet will be fine. They'll all be fine. Okay. Lord Jesus, help us today. I'm telling you, some of us have that attitude about church. And people know you, because you're always late. Not to work, you early at work. You there before everybody. You're greeting the janitor. But see, when it comes to things of God, we just got the wrong attitude. Yeah. You get up in heaven, ain't got that attitude. These 24 brothers, and I believe there's some big, strong, they're not angels. They are elders. I don't believe they're created angels. I believe they are something different. And that's what I'm going to play a little bit of this song. I'm not going to play the whole song. But now listen to what this song is saying. We're going to stop right here. But now listen to what this song, well, no, let me go ahead and read verse number 11, and then we'll be done. Verse number 11, please listen. And here's what they're saying. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's the end of that chapter. We got to have that kind of spirit. Now, when I went up to heaven and stood outside that emerald gate, I didn't see the rainbow, but I did see that emerald stuff, and I heard some music, which I've been trying to find. I think I found some of it. Play it again. I just want to. Big elders, they're slowly walking up to that throne. God is sitting on the throne, rainbow, glass. They bow down.
At your feet, O Lord, is the most high place.
It's a high place.
Presence.
With my face looking at your feet, I see your face. Somehow, I can't look at you, but I see your face.
At your feet,
oh Lord,
is the most high place.
The high place. to be at the feet of the Lord. God Almighty. That your glory. I see those 24 elders before God moving slowly. Greater honor than the bow down. Jesus. Worship him. Do you live to worship him?
Oh Lord,
sing it to him.
I live to worship.
Everybody sing it.
You, Lord. Oh Lord, I live to worship you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I worship you.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give God praise once again. Come on, thank God.
Praise
God. Go to Ephesians 2 and 12, please. We're going to end right here. Ephesians 2 and 12.
Praise God.
There was a time when you didn't have this relationship, and maybe some of you sitting here now, or maybe some of you watching, you don't even understand this. You can't even feel it. You're supposed to live in commonwealth, the commonwealth. It should be common for us to be wealthy. We're supposed to be enjoying the wealth of Israel. The blessings that are on the Jews should be on the believers in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We have a commonwealth with them, not a common brokenness. That's why I refuse to look like I'm broke. I'm going to enjoy the commonwealth that I have in the kingdom. You need to start acting like you're wealthy. Stop dressing like rag dolls, like you homeless. Put yourself in a position to where people ask you, where are you going? People ask me all the time, where are you going? Where y'all just came from? Church. Oh, y'all sure look nice. Well, here's a card. You can come too. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants. You have a covenant. We're going to deal with this because Agur did not have that covenant. Strangers of the covenant. We don't even understand the covenant we have. You're not supposed to be sick. You got a covenant with God. You get healing. That's the children's bread. I mean, even if you get the crumbs off the table like the dogs, I mean, you're supposed to be able to have something. So, and strangers from the covenants of promise. God has given us promises. The only thing we have is God's word. And it says, having no hope. This is where we were. Having no hope. No hope without God in this world. So if you're in this world and you have no hope, it's because you haven't received Jesus Christ. You're without Christ. You're aliens. You're away from the commonwealth of Israel. You're strangers from the covenant. It's strange to you. And God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants to live like we are part of this commonwealth, that we are not strangers, but we are part of the kingdom of God.
And we know our promises.
That's right.
We know the promises of God.
And we do have
we
hope.
We have to know it.
And we're not without God.
Yeah.
In this world.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Stop acting like you don't know God. Amen. Stop carrying yourself like you don't have
God. Stop acting like God is not with you. He said he's with you to deliver you. And he said he'll never leave you
or forsake you.
So when no one else, when other people
leave you,
walk away from you, God is still there.
And let me say this to the Bible.
Amen.
Says, even concerning marriage, God says, if the unbeliever leaves, let him go. A brother or sister is not under bondage. I'm paraphrasing in that case.
Yeah. You love people.
You better thank God you married to that Christian man or woman.
Yeah. You love them.
Because the Bible says that Christian man or woman can get you saved. Maybe both of y'all were unsaved when you got married or act like it, but then you got married to somebody and then you one got saved and the other one didn't. You better stay there. Now, if you leave, there's no obligation for that Christian to have to run after you. You leave because you're an unbeliever, you take your butt on. Bye. I'm being very graphic right now because I want to make sure y'all understand this. A brother or sister is not under any obligation. I'll take you to the scripture next week. I promise you. I'll take you to Corinthians and I'll show it to you. You're not under any bondage. That unbeliever wants to leave, does not believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't go up there marrying somebody you met at the bar or at the casino here in the Northwest. Don't be marrying them. Only thing you got in common is that you both like vodka.
It's true.
I like the burn in my throat, you know. I like the burn. Well, I'm a Scotch man. Okay. All right. That's all we have tonight. Come on, let's give God some praise in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're watching by way of television, our live stream. And you need to be able to participate by giving also. You've been blessed by the word that you have heard. This is not my word. This is God's word. So we give you an opportunity to be able to give into the ministry. There's information on your screen to be able to do that. Or you can just go to our website anytime, 24/7, and give by going to our page that has the opportunity for you to do that. Just click it, and God knows what you're doing, and you know what you're receiving. So if you've been blessed by this ministry today, make sure you be a blessing as well by giving into the ministry. Tithe and give. If you're not part of another church, you need to put your tithes here. This is where you're being fed until God, of course, moves you to somewhere else, perhaps, where you would go to church, okay? So we want to pray over those of you that are watching. Maybe you are. At this time, without Christ, you are aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, all the commonwealth that the believers have in Israel, and sharing with their blessings. Maybe you're strangers to the covenants of promise. You really don't feel like you have any hope. You might be suicidal, wanting to check out, and you're without God in this world. You need Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ will become your life. Yes. You will live that life. One day you will be in that place called heaven, and see that rainbow in the glass, look like glass, and those 24 elders, and you'll be able to be in the presence of other believers. But cross for your sins. There's only one way. You can't go the way of Buddha this week and the way of Hare Krishna next week and New Age the following week and the week after that. It's just because you're a nice person. No, you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's the only way you're going to get in. There are no other ways. There's not another Calvary coming from you. This is it. So if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you before we leave the live stream audience. Those of you that are here in the congregation, I want to pray with you as well. We'll give you an opportunity to respond in a different way in just a moment. But let's pray. Say this with me and just be meaning it from your heart. Just mean it from your heart. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I accept you into my heart. And right now, I ask you to save me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins so that I can be no longer without you, without Christ, no longer be an alien, no longer miss the commonwealth that even Israel has, that I can receive the covenants of promise and that I can have hope and be with God in this world. I receive Jesus now as my Lord and Savior. This day is marked forever in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, whether you're in here or whether you're online, God knows you meant it. And you know, you can fake out a whole lot of people, but you can't fake out God. If you meant that, God knows it. You need to tell somebody. I mean, call somebody. Call your cousin. Write us. Let us know that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is important. Then you need to get in a good, strong, Bible-believing church, because we're not about having babies and leaving them sitting on the side of the road. We believe you need to be taken care of, fed, diapered, clothed, all those things that you need as a babe in Christ. You need to get in a good, strong church. If you don't have a church, come here and receive the Word of God. If you within the distance to be able to come here and receive the Word at Pacific Christian Center, 3211 112th Street East, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.